This wasn't really designed as a challenge. It was really designed to feed families.
Bob Caviar is the owner of Papa Bob's Barbecue in Kansas City, Kansas, and the creator of a sandwich he christened the Ultimate Destroyer.
We put on 1/2 pound of pulled pork and 1/2 pound of sliced pork. We put some sauce on it and a couple pieces of bread for stability.
In all, the football-sized sandwich contains 4.5 pounds of meat and has turned out to be irresistible for eaters with something to prove.
You know, a lot of people come in here, great big guys, think they can wipe it out, and if they get 2 pounds down, they're gone.
Many heed the call, but as the years have shown, it takes a rare breed to conquer the Ultimate Destroyer.
We've had 350 people try the challenge. We've had 5 people that have actually finished it.
But even the mightiest of human eaters have nothing on the newest residents of the Stowers Institute for Medical Research in Kansas City. In small aquariums in a newly built lab, dozens of Mexican cavefish check out their new digs. Aquatic beauties, they are not. They're a dull pink with mere traces of eyes and what look like paunches. It's the result of a strange evolutionary path that may have begun 1 million or more years ago in southern and central Mexico, when floods swept river fish into caves and left them stranded.
So they had to adapt to this very extreme environment without light. I mean, you don't even see your food.
Stowers researcher Nicholas Rohner explains that the unlucky fish didn't have much of a choice: survive in a nearly barren environment or disappear. So they evolved to become tiny survival machines, but it happened at a cost.
They lost then a lot of traits that they don't need anymore. They lost their eyes because they are useless in this complete dark environment. They have lost pigmentation that's also no longer helpful.
Scientists think these cavefish get maybe a handful of chances to eat in a year when seasonal flooding washes food into the caves. Their entire existence depends on these rare jackpots, and when they happen, the fish go wild.
The fish will just eat as much as possible and as quickly as possible to gain as much fed reserves for the future.
To survive months without food, fish may eat as much as their own body weight during the floods, and this leaves its mark on their bodies.
A similar blood glucose profile like a diabetic patient, or fatty livers that are reminiscent of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, for example.
But unlike a person who's in the habit of eating, say, football-sized barbecue sandwiches, cavefish don't get sick or suffer from metabolic disease. Rohner thinks that somewhere in their evolution, the fish may have developed a way to prevent these diseases from occurring. And unlocking this ability might be a possibility for humans.
Biology is complicated and it's diverse. And we can see more of that diversity and study it if we look at a wider range of models.
Jessica Bolker is a biology professor at the University of New Hampshire. For decades, labs have depended on a narrow range of research animals like mice, zebrafish, and fruit flies, mostly because they're easy to take care of and well understood by scientists. But Bolker says that other organisms provide unique and much-needed ways of understanding specific biological systems.
Different kinds of research questions are more or less accessible in different models. And by limiting the set of models, we may be limiting what we can study really effectively.
In addition to metabolism, the blind albino Mexican cavefish is particularly suited to helping researchers understand eyesight and skin pigmentation. Thanks in part to improvements in genetic sequencing in recent years, more and more researchers have been using emerging model organisms like the Western clawed frog, the Tamar wallaby, and the Mexican walking fish. But Bolker says the use of these new organisms is still slowed by habit, unfamiliarity, and many funders still favoring the old standbys. That leaves many adventurous researchers feeling like they're starting from scratch.
If you're going to go off and work on something different, you have to figure out how to make it work in the lab, or alternatively, how to be able to do the kind of sampling and get the kinds of information that you need in the field.
As more research organizations like Stowers have started using cavefish, they've undeniably been making their mark. The amount of cavefish research and articles has exploded in the past few years, and a textbook on the subject was recently published. For his part, Nicholas Rohner hopes the genetic mechanisms that keep cavefish healthy despite their eating habits might lead to therapy for humans that will prevent metabolic diseases from happening, whether they're the result of genetics, lack of exercise, or barbecue. Alex Smith, Heartland Health Monitor.